Today I am interviewing Lori Hamilton. Previously playing a major role in her career as a business analyst at companies such as Southwest Airlines and Verizon, she is the most recent hire at Rietta, and I am proud to introduce you to her. Today we will be talking about why teams use points to estimate, specifically why teams use Fibonacci point-based systems.
Hi.
So Lori, I recently got a question from one of our team members, actually. What kind of content they could watch and learn about Fibonacci point systems and learn why they're used. And I really think just kind of getting to the root of why Fibonacci point systems are now preferred for teams could really be beneficial to not only him, but also the entire development community. So I guess that brings me to just kind of talking to you and asking you why you feel the industry has moved into Fibonacci point-based systems rather than hour-based estimates.
Okay, sure. So one of the first things is that people are just really bad at estimating, especially things in the future. We don't tell time well within our own selves. We don't tell time even more poorly in the future. And one of the benefits that the Fibonacci scale gives us is that as the time and complexity of a given task increases, it increases exponentially, which is what the Fibonacci scale does. And it allows that sort of step up from one level to the next level to increase at a broader rate so that it can kind of encompass both the time aspects of something and the complexity aspects of something. The more complex a task is, the more likely that there are things that you don't know that you don't know about it. And it gives the capability to kind of cover for that lack of knowledge, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So I guess one of the issues that I have with point systems, or at least that I've had teams ask me about, especially during implementation, is what if I have an 8-point story that really should be like a 10-point story? I mean, what are ways to handle that? Because I don't feel it can jump all the way up to a 13-point story, because it's really only it's a 10-point story. That's what we estimate it as.
Sure.
What would you do? Because the Fibonacci sequence limits us so much, how would you handle that?
Yeah, and I've gotten this question a lot. And there are a couple of different ways that you can go about dealing with something that feels like it should fall between one juncture in the scale and the next. If it's sort of in between, because maybe, again, going back to you don't know what you don't know, one surefire way to kind of help refine that is going to be the use of a spike, which is a research task that will help you sort of vet out the approach to it or to find out some of the things that you don't know so that you can be a little bit more accurate in your estimating and go into the actual task of doing whatever the work is with a lot more of those things uncovered. If it's not so much a matter of I don't know or I don't know what I don't know, it's just sort of I think this is a 10-point story instead of an 8 or a 13, then perhaps it's a good candidate for being broken down into smaller chunks. Frankly, anything that's over 8 points anyway is going to be a candidate for being broken down simply because we work better, I think, as humans with smaller chunks of things than bigger. Sometimes things can't be broken down, though, just simply because the task is sort of an all-encompassing thing. But my preference would be to, if possible, where possible, break it down into a smaller piece. Then you've got both a deliverable, which gives a good sense of satisfaction for the person building it, but also because that way your testing team, your customer, your UAT, all of those sorts of things can start having something that they've got hands-on that they can look at to make sure that we're heading in the right direction in the first place, which is another thing a spike can also help with, especially if you're going to build sort of a demo model or something like that, both of those. And sometimes, you know, either one of those and sometimes both are a good approach to dealing with things that feel kind of in between.
Cool. So kind of basically break it down and go from there. I find it's kind of a common misconception in the development community that a point means an exact time, but it's really just, it doesn't mean that. A lot of teams kind of just settle on like 3 point being a day, 5 point being 3 days, 8 points being a week, 13 being 2 weeks. But I do know that you and I have had many conversations about that not actually being the case. Would you mind kind of touching on what points actually mean in relation to time, in relation to what they mean for particularly teams and how teams might differ on that opinion?
Sure, absolutely. A point isn't a measure of time. It's a measure of the developer's skill, the complexity of the task, how long it's going to take, with those two things combined. So if I handed a task to person A, they might say, well, that's going to take me an hour. Person B, maybe a junior or an apprentice developer, it might take them a day or two. The thing is it's probably still about a 2-point task, right? The level of complexity isn't any different. The level of result isn't any different. But for the first developer, they're going to call it 1 point, and the second developer is going to call it 3 points, because to the second developer, the junior developer, the apprentice, it's a more complicated task. It's going to require more research. They're still learning. So when it comes to what points ultimately end up being equated to at the individual level, which is velocity, how fast a given developer can move in a given sprint. I try to measure those things on an individual basis because we're all individuals, right? So, you know, even the best developer working on a given task put next to another developer who is also considered the best, they're going to take a different amount of time to do something just because their brains work differently, their environments are different, their thought processes are different. And so you have to treat an individual's velocity as just that, an individual's velocity. Now, that being said, when it comes to giving estimates to your clients using the point scale will give you a better ability to provide some sense of sort of accuracy to the customer without tying yourself down to something that is so rigid that you're ending up losing profit or, you know, customers by saying, well, this is a 5-hour task, it takes you 6, then they're going to balk at paying that extra hour. But if you say it's a 3-point task and that is anywhere from 4 to 8 hours worth of work, I think customers are going to be a little more forgiving because they understand that it can't be an exact science.
That makes a lot of sense. I guess there really is no hour attached to a 5-point story. I mean, a 5-point story more so means that it's a single developer velocity at that point. One developer might be, and you had mentioned measuring each developer individually. Does that mean one developer might be able to complete, say, 3 to 5 points in a single week, whereas you might have a superstar developer that can complete more towards 13 points in a single week, or is that measured in a slightly different way?
Well, one of the things that I try to do is to continually sort of steep the team in their own estimates, right? So as an example, I recently worked with a developer who estimated everything at 2 points and delivered everything at what felt like 2 points. But when a developer sitting beside him sat down to do the same task, they might say, well, that's 3 points, or that's 5 points. And so that feedback loop is both on an individual and a team basis, because it's certainly helpful as a product manager, as a scrum master, as a business analyst, to sort of have a common understanding across a team as to what a 1 point story looks like, what a 2 point story looks like, et cetera. And so you do that by creating sort of a rubric set of stories that are examples that pretty much everybody can kind of understand as your basis, but you have to continually adjust that over time, especially as you have members join your team, members leave your team, members get training. If somebody's sick, for example, what was a 3 point story last week might be a 5 point story this week, because it's going to be a little bit longer for them to get it done, but it might also be harder for them to think about, because they've got the flu, so they got a high temperature and their brain's not working on all cylinders, that sort of thing. So there are a lot of factors that go into estimating, which is part of why we're so bad at it as human beings, and why using the Fibonacci scale and giving ourselves that wiggle room on both the time scales and the complexity scales, and, you know, incorporating someone's state at the moment and their knowledge at the moment and their capabilities at the moment, is really vital, I think, in helping to both reduce anxiety for the customers and the developers. An anxious person on either side of that equation is never a good thing for the other side.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say about points? Are points the way that you always like to do estimates, or are there other ways of estimates that work differently for other teams? Or is there anything else that you would say more towards the bad side of points, where points don't work well?
I think it's really way better than time estimates. Far more accurate. But at the same time, just like with our team member that came to you, a lot of people don't understand them. And so it's not a simple concept out of the gate. And I think it's incumbent on product managers and scrum masters, especially scrum masters, because that's the biggest role of a scrum master, is to be an evangelist for the agile methodology and to make sure that their team understands what they're doing and why they're doing it and how that is supposed to work, so that they come to points with a better sort of grasp and then are able to use them more effectively. I haven't really seen in my X number of years, which is a lot of work as a business analyst, anything that comes closer to giving us a good picture of how time and complexity driven a particular task is.
Okay. Does this apply to only technical teams, or could, for instance, a construction team that builds gas stations potentially use point estimates to more accurately describe the time that they're going to spend on work sites?
Oh, this absolutely can apply to pretty much anything, really. If there's a task and it's not widget building, where you're just repeating exactly the same thing over and over, that can be easily measured by time and doesn't need skill, and especially knowledge. Knowledge workers are where this is going to be probably the most applicable. But if there's any variance in the actual time it takes to do something, I think the point estimate methodology is certainly a powerful tool to help people get a better idea of how big, difficult, time-consuming a task is, especially at an individual level.
Okay. And then the last question that I wanted to wrap this entire interview with was, it's a little bit more of a personal question because we've been talking about this for so long, but when was the first time that you ever experienced a point-based methodology estimation system? And what kind of team was that that you experienced in that? As far as just the team synergy, was it a new concept to the team, or did you kind of jump into that team and that's when you first experienced this point-based system?
It was on an assignment I was working for Verizon Wireless, and it was a matrix environment team working on sort of customer-centric marketing-based products where we were getting lots of rapid-fire projects that kind of spanned across multiple departments throughout the company. And as a result, you know, variances in completion times or the effort involved in something was kind of important because it had a big domino effect. And it was in the early days of agile adoption by large corporations. And so it was like, here, give this a try. And none of us were too terribly familiar with it at the time. And so as the business analyst in that particular role, I felt like it was my responsibility because we didn't have Scrum Masters at the time, to go out and learn as much about it as I could and sort of educate the team on how we should be using it and how it could best benefit us, especially in that both person matrix and project matrix environment where delivery times were especially critical. When you think about things like, oh, it has to be linked to the iPhone delivery, you know, the new iPhone coming out and that sort of thing, it also is really great in helping you prioritize things in an environment like that. At least it was for me.
Awesome. Thank you for that, sharing that story. That was actually a really interesting story, and the fact that it both symbolized the way that points are actually easy to adopt in an agile fashion, but also in the fashion that this was a big corporation using it for the first time, and they were still able to adopt it. So it really actually speaks pretty loudly to how much better and more accurate the point system is for a corporation to be able to jump onto this like that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I love it.
Well, hey, Lori, we're actually kind of running into about the time that I wanted to hit, and I feel that we covered quite a bit on the Fibonacci sequence point system. I thank you so much for your time, and I hope that we can do this another time sometime.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.